Our text, as I said earlier, for this morning's message is from that gospel lesson from Luke chapter 8. Especially this part, "Return to your home," Jesus tells him, "and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Dear friends in Christ, I don't know if you've been listening, as I said before at the beginning of the service, our theme tends to be chains and shackles and slavery and those kind of things in the readings today. In the intro, the psalmist actually had to endure troubles and calamities that were like being buried in the depths of the earth. And then in the collect, we prayed to the Lord to set us free from sins and evil desires. Now, we all know from our own lives that there's no heavier chains in our world or in our lives than when those sins that beset us from the past torment us over and over again. In the Old Testament reading, you heard how God was bound and determined to save and to bless his rebellious peoples whose wrongdoing had actually taken them, led them into captivity. And then in the epistle, Paul tells his friends how they were once slaves to the elementary principles of the world. There's chains all over the place today for some reason. And now we get to look at Jesus in our gospel reading. He comes along and he sets a guy who was chained both on the outside, he literally chained and shackled. He sets this man free, not only on the outside, but on the inside from this pile of demons that were out to destroy him. But let's not just focus on this. Let's focus on this not just to remember that this is a great story about what Jesus did a long ago and far away. What God is bringing to our ears today is something. He brings this message to us so that we'll treasure the very fact that Jesus sets us free. Jesus even says, "I have come to set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So let's look at this man who was actually chained in more ways than one. He was shackled with an iron chain that actually tried to restrain him. And they said the demons inside of him broke those chains and then sent him out into the desert. He was chained. Literally changed. He was shackled because the people were actually trying to protect themselves. He lived in the graveyard among the tombs because he couldn't live among the people. So he was shackled physically, but he was shackled in a much deeper way by these demons that were inhabiting him. We don't know how this happened. The Gerasenes were obviously not Jewish, as you know by the herd of pigs that were there. They were probably a group of Gentiles living in the land across the lake from Galilee. And we don't know how it happened. But he was chained physically. But he was chained and held back in a lot of different ways as well, not only physically. The demons, the possession actually kept him away from his community. They had to separate him from the rest of the community because of what he could do to them, because of the great strength that the demons gave him. It actually made him self-destructive, sent him out into that desert as if it wanted him to die. And he was powerless against it, since the demon actually even hijacked his mind and his voice. So, what a pitiable condition this man was in. What a horrible condition. But now we get to look at the one who sets him free, the liberator. Jesus aims God's power at this devilish spirit. He didn't merely request for the demon, you know, I want you, you know, can you please get out of this guy? No, he commanded the demon to leave his victim. Apparently, I don't know if you noticed at the very beginning, it says, when the demon talks to Jesus, he says in a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Son of Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." And then it goes on to say, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of this man." So apparently Jesus had already commanded him. He confronted the demon. When he sees him, he says, "Get out of him." He commands it. He doesn't request it. And you notice what the demon actually did there. He confesses who Jesus actually is. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. He says who he is. And then he's reduced. He actually begs him. Notice what he says. "I beg you. I beg you, do not torment me." He doesn't have any reason to ask Jesus for mercy, but he begs him. "Don't torment me." And he was willing to actually leave the man, not that he had any choice. And so what does Jesus do? He sets this man free. And for some reason, we're not really sure why. I have a theory, but he permits the demons to enter into a herd of pigs. And the pigs, well, they kill themselves. And I think, and my theory, I can't say that this was with any certainty, but my thought on this is that the reason that we're told this, there's different levels of biblical interpretation. You have to realize there's this. Whenever you're reading scripture, you say, "What does it say?" You know, that's, what do the words say? And then in the second level is, what does it mean? And the third level is, why is it here? Why do we have this little snippet in here? My thought on it is that it's probably to show just how bent on destruction these demons were. And by extension, how bent on our destruction Satan is. How much he wants to destroy everybody. They were so bent on destruction, even though they were given a reprieve and thrown into the hogs, they drove the pigs crazy and they committed suicide. So it clearly shows just how the evil one wants to destroy God's good creation. And Jesus now gives himself to you and me as our liberator. He liberates, he frees us. You see, his death in our place actually shows just what he did to the evil one. If you look at John 12:31, it says this, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out." That's what Jesus does. That's what he did. And his death also shows you and me just how he wants to be our Savior. The next verse says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." When Jesus' hands are nailed to the cross, he draws us to him. He's able to set people free from all of the many things that Satan uses to enslave them. Those sins that beset us over and over again. Maybe our despair, our selfishness. Maybe sometimes even the temptation to see troubles in our lives as some sort of punishment for what we've done. All of those things in the world or in our lives that seem to be besetting us over and over again. Jesus' death and resurrection sets us free from those. He sets us free from all of those things that Satan uses to tempt us to draw away from Christ. And he draws us to himself on that cross. And now, of course, we have to look at the Lord who gives us very good news to tell. Because we are indeed free to live. God Jesus has set us free. It is for freedom I have set you free. Christ has set us free. And since we're free to live, we're free to tell. Notice what he does. Jesus has this wonderful good news. This man has this wonderful good news. He wouldn't even let go of Jesus because Jesus had set him free. He figured he had to do something extraordinary. Maybe leave his homeland, all of his loved ones and friends, and go live with Jesus and follow Jesus full time. That's what he wanted to do. Instead, Jesus says, no. You stay right there, right where you are, where God has placed you. And tell all your relatives, all of your neighbors, how God's freedom came to you through Jesus. Tell people what God has done for you. Probably the man wasn't real complicated, probably a simple man, and probably put it into simple words. But notice, Jesus says, tell. It's not his responsibility. He's not obligated to persuade anybody, but simply to tell what he knew freely. There's I don't know if it was me or if I heard it somewhere, but I always talk, whenever somebody asks me, well, how do you talk to people about Jesus? I said, well, you have to just tell two stories. You tell your story and then tell his story. It's pretty simple. Tell people what God's done for you and then tell them what Jesus has done for them. Tell your story and then his story. See, we're free. We have been set free from the sin that so easily besets us, from all of those shackles and chains that we like to lock ourselves into. Christ has set us free. You see, Jesus can use you and me just the same way he used this man. And he does use us the same way he uses. You don't have to be a professional theologian. You don't have to be a missionary. You really don't. Even though God calls some people to serve in this way, you don't have to do it that way. But as the Lord opens the door and gives you the opportunity, you can always speak a simple word about what Jesus has done for them or for you, and tell them about the truth that he's revealed to you in his word. Those are the things that Christ calls us to do. Given the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. See, but the great thing is that you're free in all of this. You are absolutely free because you're not responsible for results. That's the Holy Spirit's work. All we're responsible for is to tell. We're not responsible for what happens after the word of the Lord goes out. That's the Holy Spirit's work in their hearts through the word proclaimed. We're free in all of this because it's not our obligation to convince anybody, but merely to testify to what we know. So the real question always becomes, at the end of this story, you know, we want to hear the Paul Harvey here. We want to hear the rest of the story, right? What becomes of the message that this man spoke in his town to his relatives, to his neighbors? Well, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us anything about it. Did God use it to plant faith in the others who heard this man and telling about what Jesus had done for him? Well, we don't know. And really the response doesn't matter so much since really the praises of Jesus are always a glorious thing. They're always wonderful. Even if many people choose not to listen to them. The big thing is to hold on to the reality that the evil one wants to destroy us. Wants to destroy others in both body and in soul. And the flip side is that we always rejoice with all our might that Jesus has actually conquered sin, death, and the power of Satan. He's conquered him for our sake, for the sake of the whole world. Christ covers all of the wrongs that we have ever done with his own blood. He's covered it all through his death and resurrection. He covers even the times that we gave in to the devil, every time we gave in to temptation. And he brings the good news of forgiveness into our lives, into your life and into my life. Through the word that he speaks, he lays hold of our hearts and he gives us faith to trust in him. So in the power of his Spirit, he actually makes us strong to overcome the damage that the evil one might have done in our lives, and to free us and to resist him in any new attack that he tries to launch against us, because we are now free to live and we're free to tell as well. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen.